My name is Barry Holtz-Landers, it says in the bulletin. And fair warning, I am in all likelihood going to refer to my father-in-law in several different ways. Over the years, I called him Mr. Frost. You won't hear that one very much. Called him Reverend Frost, and you won't hear that one very much either, except in the title. Face-to-face, I called him Dad. Even before I married in. I referred to him in his absence as either Dad or Jim when there was some question as to which Dad I was talking about. Just so you know. We didn't disagree over much, really. We were generally agreeable people, but there were a few things, I suppose. I don't know for certain. It's possible we disagreed over which of his lovely children was the best. I thought I was pretty sure I knew which one, but you know, he never told me, in case you're going to try and pump me for that afterwards. I don't know. We discussed a lot of things from different perspectives. And it frequently wasn't a matter of trying to convince each other to change an opinion or a belief, but it was more a matter of, have you thought about it this way? Have you looked at it from over here? Jim looked at things from his unique perspective, as do we all, and often gave me new things to think about. I trained for the ministry, and while I was never a full-time professional minister, as I thought I might be at one point, and as he was, I ended up doing these sorts of things. I call myself semi-professionally religious because I preach on the weekends. And so we had that connection and we had things we could talk about and things we could share that was just a joy to be able to see what he had seen, to hear what he had heard and what he thought was worthwhile and to bounce things off on him. He was wonderfully gracious and generous, as many of you know, but still told me the truth when I needed to hear it, which is exactly what you want in the people you love, because then you know they love you. And they're hardly disagreements when you think about them, and we didn't disagree about anything that really matters most. He believed in family and demonstrated love and loyalty to his in ways that inspired me to do the same. We both believed and believe in a loving God who wants to be in a relationship with all creation, each of us included. He was called to be a pastor. He was charged with, to use an old term, the cure of souls. Isn't that a great term? The cure of souls. And he was great at it. He wasn't called to make churches bigger. He was called to make people better. And that's what he did. Whether he was getting paid for it or not, that's just what he did. Jim was welcomed into heaven with those words we all want to hear. Well done. Well done, my faithful son. Welcome home. Welcome home. Passage of scripture which Mindy read for us was chosen by Jim, and I think you can see why. There are lots of things going on in there. There are whole books written on that. You're not getting any of them from me. But I look there and I see Jim. If you talk to anyone who knew him, you'll hear story after story of him putting others first. You'll hear about his humility, his deep and authentic desire to meet the needs of others. Not because he had low self-esteem and was trying to build himself up. Not because he was trying to curry favor from the powerful or the rich or the anyone, because he behaved this way with everyone. There's an endless array of pictures that you'll see in a slideshow downstairs. One of my favorites is him kneeling down to get the same level as a child, to talk to them and to listen to them. And there's several of them like that, because that's what he did. He did these things out of his authentic and deeply experienced relationship with Jesus Christ. He didn't reminisce about his wilder days, at least not much with me. But to him, and who's a better judge than him, there was a profound difference between who he was before and after. He began to understand how much he was loved by God through Jesus. But what would it mean to have the same mind as was in Christ Jesus? It's an interesting turn of phrase. I can tell you straight off, it doesn't mean that we're called to be divine. That's not part of it. That's different. It's something else. Paul tells us that at least part of it is to be a humble person. Not a doormat, but the kind of person who knows themselves well enough to be able to do whatever needs to be done. Even if somebody else thinks it's beneath us. There's a story told of Mother Teresa that could be told just as well about Dad. That someone went all the way to wherever she was at that time in India to go and interview her and couldn't find her where she was supposed to be. So she asked the cleaning woman who was mopping the floor, "Where's Mother Teresa?" She said, "Well, she's right here. What would you like?" Dad did what needed to be done, not because it was this thing, but because it needed to be done. A tremendous example to us. There are some other ways we can have the same mind as Christ Jesus. And one of them in particular bears on why we're here today. Nowhere in the Gospels do we see Jesus pretending he's feeling something he actually isn't. That's something we do. What we see when we look at Jesus is a person in whom the full range of human experience and emotion are on display. Now, we don't have any gospel stories of Jesus telling jokes or laughing at them, which I think is too bad. But I think we can infer from some of the complaints directed at him that he enjoyed a party, enjoyed having a good time. Jesus had good friends who he loved and who loved him back. When Jesus was sad, he cried. He didn't man up or woman up or person up. He cried. One of the ways we can be like Jesus is to feel what we are actually feeling. We don't honor Jim and his memory by pretending we aren't sad when we are. But we equally don't honor him and his memory by pretending we aren't happy when we are. Funerals are one of those times we get together. I haven't seen Ben live for quite a while. I was happy to see him. Was I supposed to pretend I wasn't because it's a funeral? Of course not. We feel what we feel. We need to admit it. And isn't it fascinating how we as humans can go from one emotional pole to another in the space of a few seconds? We've all seen it. We see it most purely and without artifice in small children, who I get to observe on a fairly regular basis, who go from wailing in pain or outrage to laughing and cuddling in moments. We stop doing this for some fool reason, like trying to be grown up, whatever that means, not because we've lost the capacity to feel. In all likelihood, those who feel the loss of Jim the most keenly will find themselves today laughing and crying by turns, maybe even in the space of a few moments. We honor Jim by feeling what we're actually feeling, not trying to put on a brave or a sad face for anyone. We honor the example of Jesus, who wept in the face of the death of a friend. It may be a temptation to tell ourselves because Jim is in a better place, we shouldn't cry. Well, we're not crying for Jim. We're crying for us. We're crying for ourselves. I'm crying because the world is a less good place because Jim's not in it. We cry for Lorene, for all the people who feel the same way. That, yeah, the sun rose, I'm not sure why, but it did. But it rose on a world that's just not as full as it should be. We could rejoice in the reality of Jim's new existence, where he will never again be troubled by pain or sorrow. But that's his existence. It's not ours. Of all the people who've ever walked the earth, I don't think anyone was better equipped than Jesus to know the reality of the glory of life after death. When his friend Lazarus died, Jesus didn't say, "Well, he's in a better place." It's the shortest verse in the Bible. He wept. If you feel like crying when you think of Jim, you should cry. If you feel like laughing when you remember any of his jokes or his playfulness or his smile or his laugh, or for that matter, if you remember him sneezing, you should laugh. If you find yourself doing both at the same time, welcome to the reality of love and loss. If you find yourself doing neither, if you're a bit numb, that too is completely normal. All of us grieve in our own time and at our own pace. The only way to do it wrong is to try to not do it at all. Take it from me, that doesn't work. We've come today to grieve together. For some, it is the loss of Dad, Granddad, Great-Granddad, Jim, Pastor Frost. For some of you, it may be to grieve the pain of loved ones who knew Jim, but you didn't know him, but you see their pain. We're here to remind ourselves of a life well lived, to be comforted by the Holy Spirit who is with us in our greatest joys and our deepest sorrows. We're here to remember that Jesus whom Jim served is the same Jesus who conquered death for all of us. Dad is enjoying the reality of that victory. The rest of us need to wait a bit until we see it too. Amen.